He's doing well. That was great singing, and I appreciate Dylan doing a good job leading our songs this morning. In fact, that was a great selection, because what we're going to talk about as we prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper this morning is the question, how much does God love us? And you know, that's something I think we wonder about sometimes, especially when things go wrong in our lives, and maybe we begin to doubt or question, does God really love us? And we have the Lord's Supper to remind us really how much He does love. But I want to begin with a story. It's found in the book of John, chapter 11, and verse 5. It says, Jesus loved Martha and her sister. What was her sister's name? Mary. And Lazarus, their brother. So when he heard that he was sick, Lazarus was sick, it says he... And if you don't know the story, I think it'd be interesting to see what you think it's going to say. He loved Martha. He loved Mary. He loved Lazarus. And so when he heard that Lazarus was sick, it seems like it should say he rushed to Bethany to be by his bedside. Or, you know, he commanded that the fever leave him. Or he went quickly to lay hands on him so that he would be healed. That's what it seems like it ought to say, how this sentence ought to be completed. And so if you're not familiar with it, it might be kind of surprising that what it does say is, this just doesn't sound right. He stayed two more days where he was, in the place where he was. Am I the only one that just seems kind of strange, kind of a strange response? He loved them. He loved them so much. And so he heard he was sick, so what does he do? He stays two more days in the place where he was. And when we continue to look at this story, we see that really... You know, he stayed long enough to allow Lazarus to die and even to allow him to be in the tomb for 2 days before he arrived at Bethany. It's as though he let him die. And, you know, how does that show love? Because really, look at the text again. You see, verse 6, it says he loved them so. It's because of his love. When he heard he was sick, he stayed two more days where he was. Is that how you show that you love someone? You know, the way this text is typically understood, and I think correct, is that he allowed Lazarus to die and to be dead for 2 days so that when he does come to Bethany, he could perform a greater miracle that would create greater faith on the part of more people. He allows Lazarus to die. Rather than just heal a sick Lazarus, he is going to raise a dead Lazarus from the grave. And that will have a more powerful impact. In fact, a little bit later on, he explains it to the apostles this way. He says, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. He is going to come after Lazarus is dead, after Lazarus has been in the grave for a couple of days, and he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. And really, this shows greater love, even though I'm sure it was hard for his sisters to understand, and it might seem like us a strange way to show the love. One writer put it this way. He said, Jesus withheld blessings, potential blessings, you know, healing Lazarus, that he might enlarge the blessings. He wanted to do something greater. But again, it might seem strange to us. Our question again this morning is, how much does God love us? And the question I want you to think about is, does he love us so much that he will give us everything we want? We tend to think that would be love. Or does he love us so much that maybe sometimes he will allow us to experience things that are painful, allow us to go through tough circumstances, because he knows that that will make us a better person? We often have a very superficial, worldly, physical definition of love. And we think if God loves us, you know, he'll make everything wonderful in our life and nothing bad will happen. But maybe God loves us so much that he'll actually allow us to experience pain and go through tough circumstances. Because he knows that painful experiences are good for us. Sometimes sickness is good for us. It causes us to be less attached to this world. And that's a huge problem. You know, we become attached, our affections for this world. And maybe we need to learn a lesson so that we don't love the world so much. or maybe put us through something so that we'll be better prepared to serve, you know, a greater purpose than just the satisfaction of our physical desires. Perhaps he withholds what we think would be wonderful blessings in our life to give us something better. You know, it's so easy to slip into the mindset that if we're good, you know, God will show his favor toward us by letting good things happen to us. We equate pleasing circumstances with God's favor. We think that's an indication that we have God's favor. But not necessarily. You know, maybe God has a bigger plan because he loves us so much. Sometimes people are drawing closer to God in their life. They're making decisions and choices, and then all of something really good they think happens to them. But actually it's not good. You know, maybe it's a new job or a new opportunity that's going to draw them further and further away from God. You know, we just can't judge. We can't equate our physical circumstances with God's approval, you know, in a universal sense. Sometimes God chastens us. Sometimes he disciplines us. Sometimes he rebukes us. The Bible says, you know, sometimes he even scourges us. That's a very powerful metaphor. Look at a scripture in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. It says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, or be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son that he receives." Strong language. He's going to put us through tough circumstances. You know, one of the big questions that comes up on this passage is, what does it really mean by the chastening of the Lord? When does that happen? We normally think what that is when we do something wrong, God, you know, causes some form of punishment to come into our life to teach us a lesson. But not necessarily. The word chastening really just means teaching or instruction. And it might be that we're doing good and God wants to make us stronger, make us better. In fact, in the story here in Hebrews, they weren't being punished, I don't think, for doing something wrong. They were being allowed to experience persecution. And he says, don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Don't be discouraged. Really, what it shows is that God loves you. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there who a father does not chasten? But if you're without chastening, you know, if God just lets us do anything we want to do, and just like parents who have no restrictions on their children, no rules whatsoever, no supervision, you know, someone might think, wow, your parents really love you. No, your parents don't love you. If we're without chastening, he says, then we're illegitimate. We're not really God's children. We don't have a father who loves us. You know, he uses that analogy of an earthly parent. We've all had human fathers. They corrected us, and we paid them respect. How much more should we be in subjection to the Father of our spirits and live? Earthly fathers chastened us as seemed best to them for a few days, but he does it for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. And then he reminds us of this, that no chastening seems pleasant and joyful in the present, but we know it's painful. But afterward, he says, you know, when it comes from the all-wise, all-loving Father, it produces a peaceable fruit of righteousness if we will allow ourselves to be trained by it. And so we are chastened by God. That's how much he loves us. And we should not despise when he allows difficult circumstances to come into our lives. Rather, we should trust him and realize that that is an act of love. God is the perfect Father. And he knows exactly what we need. And God's not looking at it superficially. He's looking at the big picture, eternity. And he wants us to go through things, perhaps, that will help us prepare for eternity. Because he does love us so much. So if we wonder, does God love us? The things I've said so far maybe give us something to think about how if he really loves us, he will allow us to face hardship. But the greatest example, of course, is what we're about to remember in the Lord's Supper. If you wonder if God loves you, remember the cross. Don't base it on how is my day going. Maybe that's why we have the Lord's Supper every week. It's a reminder of how much God does love us. Romans 5 says, God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. That's how we know how much God loves us. Remember how he sent his Son to suffer and to die on the cross. God the Father allowed his Son Jesus to go through far worse punishment and suffering and anguish than any of us will ever experience. That's how we know how much God loves us. And he's provided us this memorial to remind us of that fact. And we do this each and every week because we should never forget how much he loves us. Let's bow our heads now and we'll give thanks for the bread. Our dear Father in heaven, we humbly bow as we prepare to partake of this memorial. We thank you so much that we can call you our Father, and we recognize that you are a great and perfect, all-wise, all-loving Father. And we trust you to take care of our lives and know that all things that happen to us are under your care. And if you will it to be so, we know that it's good and we can trust you. We thank you so much for letting your Son die on the cross for our sins and not giving up on us, but letting him pay the price so that we could be forgiven. We pray that we'll always be filled with gratitude for the sacrifice that was made. Be with us now as we eat this bread that represents Jesus' body. Help us all to do it in a way that pleases you. And this we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Bow with me, please. Dear Lord, bless the cup as we take it today, and be with us as we remember what it represents. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're glad to have so many visitors with us today and for such happy occasions, not only for worshiping. So good to have you here. You're not expected to contribute. For us, Jimmy spoke of how God shows us that he loves us through chastening. He also shows us he loves us by providing for us and all the many blessings. I can't count the blessings in my life and in Kathleen's and my life together, that he's blessed us with so many things and so many happy days. And I know it's the same for you. That's one motivation for us to return a portion of what he's given to us, not only for the work to carry on, but it's a way of showing him we love him, that we thank him. It's another way of doing that. And in addition to that, it's something that we do together as a congregation. Let us pray. Our Father, thank you for so much. Thank you for our lives, for Christ, for caring for us, for helping us in our nurturing and developing as Christians. Please accept what we return, and we pray that it be put to good use. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.